we've lined up the top stars from Hollywood and from all over the world to entertain you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
The Drive-In Theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
Good evening, everybody. What's going on? It is Monday night. It is May 13th, 2024. You are tuned into the Drive-In Speaker Box Podcast. I'm your host, Bo, the Boom Operator.
I'm Slick Doggy the Grip.
And we're back. It's another week. It is time for a show. We've been on our Twitch pre-show for the past half hour talking to you guys just about what's going on. But if you are new, if you're just tuning in on YouTube or Twitch, or excuse me, Facebook, you can join in the fun over on Twitch. You can follow or you can subscribe, which is cool, and we get money for that. Sounds like a thunderstorm just happening.
I wore the wrong shoes.
I hear some rain outside the studio. So if you hear some noise out in the background, that's what that is. And if you are downloading the podcast, wherever it is you download podcasts, and are not looking at our gorgeous faces or seeing the chat right here on your screen, which we reference too often, you can be a part of that chat live every Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we thank all of you that are still here in the chat. Looks like we just had a 34-month sub from Poochie Vince over on Twitch. Nice. 34-month streak.
Close to 3 years. That's awesome. Thanks, wild. Vince.
Thanks, man. And thanks, everybody else, for joining us. We've got a show tonight. Neither of us went and saw Planet of the Apes like we thought we would. What do you mean,
Did we either of us really have plans for it?
Well, I mean, it's what we do. We have plans to watch movies. It's what we do.
Yeah. I still don't know who that movie is for.
It's for people that maybe didn't want to watch the original trilogy or maybe missed the last one. And like, well, let's take one storyline from one trilogy, one storyline from the other one, and repackage it for the kids. And that's what they did.
Okay.
But full transparency, it's been an extremely hard week for me, so I did not get a chance to see any movies, and we're here. But as Dina said on Twitch, that apparently it's for the Chinese because they spend a lot of money to watch it.
That's actually something that makes sense to me, you know. With yesterday being Mother's Day, we're both close with our immediate families and everything. And then Saturday, you know what? I went to the Ren Fair, bro.
A lot of people that I know went to. Was there a Ren Fair in Fayetteville, or did you go to the
castle
one in Muskogee? Oh,
yeah, I went to the castle.
See, like I haven't been to the Muskogee Castle of Muskogee Ren Fair in years, like literal years. And the last time I went was with a group of people, and we even dressed up in like billowy shirts and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun.
Dude, it's so much.
It was it's a heckin' good time.
I got to buy bottles of mead to walk around with, and I ate little tiny birds, and I got to sword fight somebody.
Wait, you sword fought a person?
Yeah, dude. It's only $5, and you get to sword fight.
With like a sword, or like one of those like Nerf boffers that those geeks LARP with?
A heavy metal sword.
Heavy metal.
They give you a...
pretty sure nothing about that scenario was metal.
Dude, it was. It was sick. They give you like a padded vest and armored gloves and a fencing helmet, and then they're like, all right,
but let's go. Here's the... Did you best the sword master?
No. I mean, because it was just for fun. It's only $5, man.
I mean, I'll hit a dude with a sword or get hit with a sword for $5.
Part of it was I was twice his size and I was really taking it easy. And at the same time.
Oh, okay. You're taking it easy on the guy.
Dude, there's a video. You'll see how much bigger I am.
I mean, that doesn't mean... sometimes some small ones can get you with them swords.
They give you like a whole spiel at the beginning of like, I'm not going to hurt you, so please don't hurt me. And any chance I had to like really get him was going to hurt. It's not fun to do that. I was just there to have fun. I had a great time. The Ren Fair was badass.
Did you shoot arrows at the guys that are just like, oh, your mama was a snowblower? And you're just like, oh, fuck you. And you can't hit the thing.
They had it where you could throw tomatoes at them.
Oh, heck
yeah. I watched some kids do that. That was a good time. And it was Pirates Weekend. So there was lots of One Piece pirates walking around.
Okay.
Yeah. There was only one Jack Sparrow and then tons of One Piece people.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then just lots of generic background actors from Hook kind of a thing. Mm.
With the puffy shirts and the hats and the whatever. Yeah. Fairly Critical on Twitch asks, there was a show briefly called Full Metal Jousting. It was legit. Jake, do that.
I mean, there is like there's fighting clubs and tournaments where you wear full plate and fight with weapons and all that stuff. You can find those. There's even a like a night fighting league that they do in like Europe, and you can find that to watch online. But yeah, man, it's a fantastic time.
Right on. Well, enough about us. Let's talk about the news. It's been a week, man. It's been a week. Things have happened in the news since we were last here talking with you guys about it. Did you have anything written on your paper? I know you're
always... man. talking medieval stuff. How about all this new Lord of the Rings things? The news that we've been getting. Peter Jackson's coming back to produce and lend his ideas and hands into things.
More money.
Mm-hmm. But with that, Warner Brothers announced one of the titles of the movies, which is The Hunt for Gollum. It's going to be directed and starring Andy Serkis. So they're maintaining like the Gollum that everyone knows, right? And Andy Serkis is going to direct as well.
He's directing a movie about a character that he played. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, and he's going to be Gollum in the movie. The bad part about it is that with it, they've also removed a fan film from 2009 that's had like over 13 million views because it was also named The Hunt for Gollum. All of a sudden, Warner Brothers was like, oh, nope. We're going to take that title and we're going to get rid of that fan film. So lots of people are upset. And with the Rings of Power already not doing a great job of maintaining or retaining a fan base for Lord of the Rings, alienating or getting rid of more fans is probably not the best idea.
But they're going to make new ones, is there hope?
Yeah. Also, who are these for? Who are new Lord of the Rings movies for? We got the Peter Jackson trilogy, that's really probably as good as it's going to get for a very long time. Why do we need these? But one thing that might end up being cool is they also released some still photos from the War of the Rohirrim. So not long after the passing of Bernard Hill, Théoden, King of Rohan, we now have the... announcement and like three pictures. We got three stills of the War of the Rohirrim. And more to come next month. There's an animation convention where they're going to release some more information and probably some more pictures, if not a little bit of animation from War of the Rohirrim, which is the one that everyone actually has been waiting for, the thing that people do want. So hopefully that ends up being good. We'll see how that goes because the writer's Rohan. Pretty badass.
They are the most badass. I mean, I don't know. Carl Urban made that clear in the movies.
Well, and this weekend, too, if you're into tabletop gaming, From Games Workshop going up for made to order and pre-order are a whole bunch of Lord of the Rings miniatures, including Rohirrim.
There you go. You can get a hold of those. Over in the comments section here on the stream, Vince on Twitch asked, did everyone know there's going to be a Dune prequel on Max? That news has been going out. There's a lot of these big sci-fi picture, actually, which is crazy because Denis Villeneuve, he did, Dune, and then he also did Blade Runner 2049. They're getting a Dune prequel show on Max, but they're also getting a Blade Runner sequel on Amazon Prime. I don't know if you heard about that one. It's going to be Blade Runner 2099, and they're going to be bringing in a pretty interesting cast. So,
was it done by Denis?
No, of course not. No, that's not going to happen at all. But it looks like it's they're trying to get a pretty big big cast. Michelle Yeoh is cast to talk about entering the Blade Runner world, and I don't know if this is necessary. Just give me another movie. Let him just make all sci-fi movies from now on. Just let him do it. Just
what's the Kurt Russell movie where it's like it might be part of Blade Runner? It's like Universal Soldier, but not, but it's, I mean, called,
that is a Kurt Russell movie.
Oh yeah, then that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Escape from L.A. Also, no. Oh my God, I would love a Snake Plissken averse.
Well, you know, they were talking about doing a remake of Escape
with
from New
son.
York.
Yeah,
but the directors are not down with it, and so it's just falling apart. Which don't do that. Don't remake Escape from New York. No one needs that either. It's a perfect movie. It has the Duke of New York, a number one. It has Snake being super badass.
No, it's Plissken.
Yeah. Also, real quick,
call
James on Facebook says the 77 Hobbit animated movie will never be topped. You are right. I love that animated movie. The only thing I like better than that is the Hobbit comic book, which is really, really good.
Down to Goblin Town. Other news of TV
computer that
TV series like bringing back, you know, dead content. There was a sort of a cast announcement trailer teaser released this week from Netflix that you know how the original Wednesday series season one had Christina Ricci in there because of course she was Wednesday, but playing a different character in this world. But in this one, they're like, well, we got to do it again. So they're bringing in Christopher Lloyd to come in to Wednesday season two. And of course, Christopher Lloyd, everybody knows him from playing Uncle Fester in the 90s, Adam's Family.
That's what everyone knows him for.
I mean, great Scott. Like, he was Uncle Fester. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I did not enjoy Wednesday. I thought it was fun. I thought that the Uncle Fester that they did cast was pretty awful, and I didn't.
Oh, Fred Armisen.
Yeah, I didn't think Fred Armisen did it very. He was like Lord Raiden, but he was like one part Powder, one part Lord Raiden. Remember that movie Powder?
Yeah, I remember Powder.
Yeah,
weird. Yeah, it traumatized me because at the end of the movie, he just runs into that field. And they're like, little known fact, albino people are lightning magnets. Like,
oh my God. Okay, we have to pause because on Facebook, we just got a comment from Phil Stevens, who, a.k.a. the gaffer himself, former co-host of Drive and Speed Rock, said, last time Jake went to the Ren Fair, he got kitted up with chainmail. He was wearing a chainmail coif. He has pictures. And not only was he wearing chainmail, but he fell asleep in his chainmail on the drive home.
Everyone did, because we switched. Phil fell asleep in it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, that's right. And I don't know if that was the time, like, because we all dressed up. You know, we were getting into it, and you had the chainmail coif.
I bought it there.
Yeah, do you still have that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you wear it?
No.
Why not?
Because
when you wear it, you look like the guy from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah,
you're like,
choose poorly. Yeah. No, that stuff's heavy, and it really, like, wearing it for a long time is not fun for my neck.
Well, so you're saying you have a weak neck?
No. I just don't want to walk around with chainmail on.
Merle over on Twitch says,
I did that day though.
Post it in the Discord. So I don't think Phil's a member of our Discord, but if you want to get into the Discord where the Drive and Speak Rocks community chats and everything all the time, I'm sure Vince will throw that link in the comments there. You can join the DISB community there. And at the end of the show, you know, Vince will host a watch along that we like to do. This week he's kind of wanting to throw it up, and instead of doing a movie watch along, he wants to play some Jackbox party games, which could be fun. So stick around for that. Boom, there's the link right there. You can check it out. What else did you see? Again, more remakes, more insane. Sydney Sweeney, everybody's been talking about her boobs lately because did you see them? But, you know, she has been cast in a Barbarella remake. You know, yes, we're talking about the inspiration for the Duran Duran song, one in the same.
Remaking Barbarella.
They're remaking Barbarella. So back in 2022, it was announced that Sony was going to be, you know, remaking this. Recently, Sydney Sweeney has now been attached, but according to a new report, that some more stuff, Edgar Wright is now in talks to direct, which is kind of crazy.
So,
because Edgar Wright is a fairly competent director here. We're talking, you know, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, World's End. We're talking kind of a cult following behind this guy. So, yeah. Talking sci-fi boobies.
I was about to say, how do you do that in now
2024
in now times? Because
it's like Space Snatch.
Yeah,
the movie.
Because woke culture things won't let you make that movie now.
As long as they balance it out with enough, like, I mean, you know,
there's no way it's a remake. It's they're just gonna take that name.
So if you have enough of this guy right here, the like greasy naked man with the wings, you know, like it'll balance itself out, you
so
know.
So they're just going to take the name only and just make their own movie is what they're saying, right?
Yes, of course. And as James pointed out, Barbarella had nudity. Did you read about the erect penis?
What?
The erect penis?
No.
You don't read about erect penises, Jake?
Not typically.
Look at how blessed you are right now.
What are you talking about? There was an
erect penis and there was a new Netflix show.
Going back to our pre-show talk about the latest man movie?
No. So there is a new show that is Netflix is now under fire because there is a new show that just came out, and then it just shocked British viewers. They were like, "Why I've never seen a tallywhacker of that consort on Netflix," you know, nothing like that. But there is a new show. Tom Pelfrey, you've seen him in a lot of stuff. He drops the sheet in a scene after taking Viagra. And alongside his co-star Jeff Daniels, and has his penis fully erect, and everybody's like freaking out.
Jeff Daniels, really?
It's not Jeff Daniels' penis.
No, but he's just standing there.
Like here, check it out. It's right here. I mean, the penis is behind this black box that you'll see that my cursor. Is
that
right
actor
here.
Has to be super down with whoever did that.
Super down with his penis.
That blur. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. But look how. Yeah. Just like, go ahead and extend that black box.
Funny story. That black box was barely big enough, dude.
It just couldn't fit in there. But yeah, you know, this is A Man in Full, which is a hilarious title for this show that, I mean, of course, the movie is not about his erect penis, clearly, but. Everybody's been talking about this, and I mean, everybody's calling it like softcore or not hardcore, or they're calling it porn at this point. And I don't know. I thought it was hilarious because it's just a penis.
This is what people are upset about on Netflix. Netflix has had like weird European like pornographic movies on there, basically.
Yeah,
and like, it's the story of a relationship. It's the story of a relationship.
Since when has
like,
Europe been worried about?
Yeah.
Nudity.
Weird.
Yeah.
Also like weird for Jeff Daniels.
Tallywhackers.
To be there with his like caliber, I guess.
Jeff, he's a professional. I'm sure he can walk in. I'm more impressed at the fact that this other guy, he can just have an erect penis on set with all the lights and crew and cast. I'm sure maybe. It was a closed set. They're like, all right, closed set, A-team only.
Maybe it's
you know,
CG.
Just erect penis. Well, you know, you think about what was it? You're a Star with what was the name of that? Boogie Nights, and he had the prosthetic penis extension on Mark Wahlberg's flaccid member. You know, for that shot, it was not erect, but this is real. It's a real penis. What the heck, you know? And Dina points out on Twitch, said Netflix had Gaspar No films right there, just and those are quite literally porn. Yeah, his movies are super, super porn.
I would say that could have been stop motion. Yeah, someone claymated that whole thing.
Vince also brings up an interesting point. I don't think we've covered it yet on the show, but he said, speaking of Netflix, did you guys talk about how they aren't going to publish their numbers anymore? And that's interesting because technically they don't have to. They are a publicly traded company, so, you know, they have to report earnings. But, I mean, nobody really has to report viewership and that sort of information, but it is good to know how things are tracked. But it also is good to know for these filmmakers and these people that are creating the content for these platforms to know how they're performing. And if they don't, they're not like really able to have to report that. I don't know if that is just to us as a people or if that also applies to producers of films, because then that kind of affects negotiations of pay and all that stuff that we've talked about years ago on Netflix and streaming media of how movies that are being produced and they get like percentage points on the post side of things, all of those deals going away when everything's on streaming. I don't know. Pretty crazy.
Maybe it's because of like Rebel Moon and stuff like that. That way they can be like, no, this movie's huge, dude. Like, this is such a big
number
hit.
One right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Literally. Just believe us. Yeah. Vince says, no, even the people working there have no idea. And I think that's bad. I think, you know, I'm a full transparency kind of guy. I love information, and I think we should all be entitled to information. I think sometimes people take that a little bit too far, but I think it should all just be available to us if we want it. Sure. I mean, especially if they're going to be negotiating contracts based off of streaming data. I think that's weird. But, you know, like I've said a million times on this show, everybody's like, we're done with Netflix. Now we're canceling our membership, blah, blah, blah. Like Netflix, every time someone says they're canceling Netflix and Netflix, like, stock drops a little bit, I buy some. And then it goes, oh, man, now it's back because we all decided we're going to keep having Netflix. So, yeah, my Netflix stock is doing very well. Thank you. And then Crackle, meanwhile, just in the background.
Probably cost Sony like $20 to keep running Crackle.
Yeah, for the like 9 people that watch it, and 8 of them are in the audience right now. Okay, well, what else do you got? You got Barbarella, Amazon, Netflix, what else?
Well, Kevin Costner's Horizon, an American saga. Parts 1 and 2 are set to come out this summer, but they are now talking about part 3 going into production before parts 1 and 2 are even out in the theater. He's doing the Zack Snyder thing. He's doing the Rebel Moon deal. It's supposed to be a 4-part series. I thought parts 1 and 2 were all that it was. Now, it turns out it's going to be a 4-part series. And so number 3 is set to go into production here in the next month or so. Just start filming on it before we even see parts 1 and 2. And which is great for them to get these things filmed and in the can so that the studios are like, crap, we're too invested. No one went and watched this, you know, or for them to be like, oh, wow, this is such a runaway success. We need more. And they're like, more's already here, you know. So good for everyone involved in the film. See how it goes for the studio.
It's going to be we're in a weird, turbulent time now. With all of these things, I think we're going to see a lot of shakeups.
We
in the
also
industry.
Got a casting in Fantastic Four that might actually matter. Galactus.
Oh. Whoa!
Yeah, they've confirmed that there's going to be Galactus in Fantastic Four.
Okay,
and it was Ralph Ineson cast for that. He's someone.
Is he going to be a giant?
Yeah,
like,
well, and see,
space robot, or is it going to be something more like in the MCU where they're like, oh, well, here's the planet,
I imagine this time around they're going to try and make him comic accurate because the whole cloud thing pissed so many
people
off.
That was so stupid.
I mean, you want to see Galactus with his big dumb helmet, and it's in the Fantastic Four movie. Reed Richards has to point like his like
stupid gun.
Yeah, I can't remember what that thing's called. But Ralph Ineson, someone who was in The Northman, Green Knight, Game of Thrones, one of our favorite movies, Hurricane Heist. He does lots of voice acting in animations and video games.
Well, as Beelzebub says on Twitch, he said, the dude's voice is on point. but having him in person.
See, so that's the thing. Is he going to just provide the voice? Or is he going to do mocap in a voice? Or is he going to actually be, are they going to have him as Galactus? We will see. I would like to see a Kung Fury style thing where they just have him like he's in costume and they put him next to the people. Dude, Fantastic Four filmed in like Kung Fury style.
That'd be pretty wild.
That would be really good. They also announced 28 years later, it'll be it just started filming, and it's set to release. June,
I thought we were done with zombies
next year.
I thought the zombie train kind of like calmed down, because you remember there for a while it was like everything was zombies. Yes. We had like World War Z. We had 28. What was it? The second one
weeks
later. We had season 56 of Walking Dead with three spinoff series. We had just everything was a fucking zombie thing. And like, why are we coming back to that? Like, I'm over the zombies. And Vince says then vampires. I mean, yes and no, because, I mean, I'm very vampire-centric. I love vampire stuff. We had, like, the Vampire Chronicles, our diaries or whatever in those series spinoffs, but never really hit movies. We didn't have a whole lot of vampire movies, because I love vampire movies, but we didn't have, I mean, it's just so hard to do it right. Let's just stop. Let's just not do it.
Well, talking about creatures of the night, you know, weird, spooky things, the Henson Company announced that they have their castings for their Grendel movie.
Grendel?
Yeah. You
remember
know,
they did
Beowulf?
They did the Beowulf, the CGI Beowulf, mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my gosh, look at her CGI bottom.
Yeah. Well, so check this out. Jeff Bridges is going to be Grendel. Dave Bautista is Beowulf.
Oh, okay. I'm down.
And Bryan Cranston is King Hrothgar. So they got some big names, but Batista as Beowulf?
Dude, I'll let Batista do whatever he wants. Like, Batista's cool.
How are they going to explain the Batista part of it, though?
You got me, man. They'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out together.
Okay.
Freaking well, Batista.
That's interesting to me. And then, like, the tattoos and all this stuff. I guess I'll just have... He's too big. He's too bald. He's too Batista.
He is too... But he's been doing... He has been doing a lot of interesting stuff.
I really hope that he does his WWE entrance when Beowulf walks in. Because it's a Grendel movie. It's not Beowulf. It's told from the point of view of Grendel, right? And I hope that like Beowulf walks into his cave or whatever. And it's like, I walk alone. And does like the machine gun thing. It's like...
Thumbs up machine gun like Rambo. Yeah.
And it's just Batista entrance. And then he comes in and Batista bombs Grendel. That would be sick. I've got myself hyped on it now. And then...
Oh, Shogun Season 2.
That's what I got here.
I was going to mention Shogun Season 2 because somebody... we talked about it briefly in the pre-show, and I said, I'm going to talk about this later. Shogun Season 2, everybody's talking about it. Hiroyuki Sanada was talking about getting the negotiations in place to return for a Season 2. The problem that I have with this is there was no Season 2 content to work off of. This is how TV shows and movies go to die. This is where we get so salty and crusty. This is where I get pissed off about the industry. And so, you know, the first season was great. It had good source material. They stuck to the source material. They made a great miniseries. It was good. It was engaging. It left it in an ambiguous ending and a good tragic Japanese ending that if you're not familiar with Japanese tragedy, buckle up, because like everybody dies, your favorite person dies, like everyone's sad, but it's the way it's supposed to be. And this is like leaving it open-ended to a point where, well, a lot of people watched it, so I guess we need to make more of it. No, you don't. No, you can just stop. You can make something different. You can have another project with Hiroyuki Sanada. Be like Samurai Town, and you know,
Samurai Town.
Do that instead. Make a remake of Yojimbo if you want.
No.
I'll take it.
No.
I'll take it.
No.
I will.
No.
I will.
No.
I
will. You don't do that.
I will do with Hiroyuki Sanada.
They've already remade Yojimbo.
Well, like 100 times. It was called Fistful of Dollars, and then it was Last Man Standing, and then it was all this other stuff. But I don't want another season of this because it was what it needed to be. Just stop.
Hiroyuki Sanada's a cool dude.
Hiroyuki Sanada is a cool dude.
He's not Toshirô Mifune.
He's not, but Toshirô Mifune is also dead.
Yes.
Okay, so.
But don't touch Yojimbo. Leave it alone. Or Sanjuro. Or Incident at Blood Pass. Or Yojimbo Meets Zatoichi. Leave my Yojimbo movies alone.
You could maybe remake that one.
Which one?
Yojimbo Meets Zatoichi.
Have you watched it?
Yeah, of course. It's great.
It's amazing.
But I would
watch
another one. I would watch a
Leave It Alone. Oh, but you
I think the
new Zatoichi.
I like all Zatoichi.
Yeah, but the one with Takeshi Kitano is just not good.
But it's still Zatoichi. And
he's a superhero.
Well, in my heart, he is, no matter what.
Yeah, but he doesn't have blonde hair in like the 1700s, and then he opens his eyes to have mystical powers where he can just cut down anybody.
He didn't have mystical powers. He just opened his eyes. He just opens his eyes. He went like this.
And they have magic, and it flashes. And
it didn't have any magic. It was just white.
Watch that movie.
It was just white because he had like fucked up eyeballs.
No, he could see the whole time, and he had magic.
This isn't Book of Eli. Dude, like he was blind the whole time, but
the
secret had magic Bible knowledge
super
powers.
Dumb Zatoichi new.
No,
new Zatoichi.
I'm telling you, Zatoichi for a new generation. I think. No, okay, so
it's Zatoichi for a new generation.
Yeah, that's right. The cool, crisp taste of new Zatoichi. And look at this crusty old man sitting here drinking. Where did you even find this 16-ounce RC Cola?
Dollar General.
Like, you found it in 1978 is where you found that.
It tastes like
it. Oh, my God. Yeah, Phil says they've been touching Yojimbo for a while. Yojimbo started as Red Harvest by Dashiell Hammett. So, yeah, I mean, Yojimbo, man, I think that we could have a Zatoichi for a new generation. I mean, people need to know. Hang on. 2003 Eyes. Like, let's see if we can find this clip.
What's that picture?
Yeah, it was just hang on. He just opened his eyeballs. Shit, something went wrong. I don't think he can. I'm going over here. Well, I gotta have it in the middle of the screen. It doesn't work. Ugh. Whatever, who cares? It wasn't a bad scene. He just opened his eyes like at the last second. That's it. Do you see any lightning bolts in here? No.
Not in the freeze frame.
Well, there wasn't, because there wasn't in the movie. Dude. Look at this. Hang on. Here we go. Boom. Right there. He just opened his eyeballs. That's it. You're telling me blind people are not allowed to open their eyes?
No.
You said they can't do it? They're like, the eyes don't work. Therefore, they must stay closed. No,
it wasn't Zatoichi, and I hated it. Velvet Santa asked if my RC Cola came with a moon pie. Funny enough, you're the second person to ask me that today.
Well, did you get your moon pie?
No.
Christina Hussey says, are you guys an actual drive-in movie theater? No, we do have a drive-in speaker box that's from an actual drive-in movie theater. I do have a couple of other drive-in speaker boxes down here from the 112 drive-in and I have the actual 112 drive-in's movie projector downstairs. But unfortunately, no. Drive-in movie theaters are dying hand over fist across the country. It's kind of tragic because property values are extremely high. Property taxes are extremely high. And it's just not a very lucrative way to make a living anymore showing movies. So, yeah, unfortunately, if you have a drive-in movie theater in your area, go support it because it's probably struggling. So,
James said that I'm like, don't touch Journey to the West. Yes, to a point. There's lots of good Chinese versions of Journey to the West and Monkey and things of the like, depending on whatever name they decide to choose for that particular version of it. But when you let people just do whatever they want with Journey to the West, that's how you end up with Forbidden Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Where you have Jet Li being like real weird monkey and Jackie Chan just being like a less than on par version of Drunken Master that we've seen him do before, because it was in an American production that had that kid from Sky High. And yep. And while it's not the worst movie in the world, the whole thing is that he lives through these like Chinese myth and legends so that he can come back and fight the kids that chased him through the pawn shop. You know, I don't hate Forbidden Kingdom at all, but I'm not going to promote it or recommend it to people. I'm not gonna be like, oh, you know what's a sick version of the story of Monkey, my guy?
Not that one.
Forbidden Kingdom, bro. Yeah. So, leave Journey to the West alone, too, unless you are someone that knows the material, knows what you're doing. Don't do that.
No.
Unless you're Akira Toriyama, where he's like, a monkey's kind of cool. I'll just take that, and I'll take a little bit of this, and just a touch of that.
Just a little buffet, buffet choosings.
But he never said it was Journey to the West. He just said it was inspired by it, and that's how we get
Dragon Ball. You get away with everything. It's like, yay, just inspired. Let's see. Oh, okay, well, I have to comment on this on Facebook. Christina says, I have a drive-in movie theater, but it's sitting empty right now, but we are trying to get it up and running. So, yes, I've had friends that have worked there. I have the R112 drive-in was purchased recently by a guy that I know. Drive-in movie theaters are a very difficult challenge. I applaud you for trying to get it up and running. I don't know what part of the country that you live in. If you want to tell us what the name of that is, our viewers will follow you and like you on Instagram. If you don't have an Instagram, get one, because if you're trying to operate a theater, you need to have some social media presence. We are both, if you're just joining us for the first time, we are two longtime movie fans. I used to work in the movie industry for a really long time. We've been doing the show for a very long time. We love all things movies. I love all things drive-ins and movies. My drive-in Speed Rocks is signed by Joe Bob Briggs. You know, I mean, we're driving people. So, hats off to you. Bernard always says, didn't the 112 drive-in theater come back? Not yet.
No, they're sitting there with like 6 foot tall grass all around the, premise.
They're going to develop it, probably breaking ground later this year, hopefully. And then Alamo Draft House is set to, build a theater there, and we'll have a small attached drive-in over there
on the side wall of one of the apartment buildings that they are putting there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Dina says we're creating MST3K style DSIB. I like that. I like that. Somewhere in a drive-in theater, two guys sitting in projection booth. And like, yeah, and that's like, and it zooms in and like all of our bric-a-brac. And it's like, Bo's peddling Jägermeister to make Jake puke. And, you know, which kind of rhymed with booth there. That was the next verse.
I want to be Hulk Hogan in the theater in Gremlins, where I'm like, listen, dude, knock it off up there, or I'll come up there and I'll shut it down, brother. Like that kind of thing. Mm. You know, you remember?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's not how that scene went, but similar.
To answer Rice-A-Roni on Twitch, yes, fellow mutants, the drive-in will never die. All right, well, it's that time of the show where we tell you what's coming out in theaters this week, because movies come out in theaters every single week, and it is our duty to keep you informed. This weekend is no different. It is the May 17th, 2024 weekend. Fairly Critical just posted a comment. I will address that here in just a moment. Christina, put that link in the comments. I would love to check it out. May 17th, we got a handful of movies coming out. A lot of people have been seeing the trailer too and talking about the new biopic Back to Black, which follows the life and times of the late great Amy Winehouse. You know, Marissa Abella, everyone's saying, is just an incredible performance of Amy Winehouse with the music. And directed by Sam Taylor Johnson, written by Matt Greenhalgh. I think this is one of those movies that even if you aren't an Amy Winehouse fan, I think it could be fun. I mean, Amy, that album is crazy good.
No, not for me. Not my thing.
You don't like Amy Winehouse? Mm-mm. Man. It is, I mean.
You remember when we had to go through our lives hearing her sing multiple times a day and it just made you want to pull your hair out?
Well, yeah, but that album is good. That album is good. A tragic story. I mean, as some people in the comment just said, you know, she killed herself with drinking and drugs. I mean, it was like the rock star lifestyle, and it's, you know, a lot of people romanticize and celebrate that lifestyle, but it is not a great one. You know, some people it does not let everybody survive. So, hang on a second. This just
There's some stuff going on. Movie Albert said he did not like Fall Guy. That's.
And then they said that they just posted the Jake a picture of Jake asleep in chainmail on the Discord.
Dude, why is it just me though?
Confirmed, it is right there.
Yeah, why is the picture of everyone else?
That's the photo right there. So all the more reason to get in on our Discord. That's hysterical. I'm not even going to show it on the screen. You have to go to the Discord to check it out.
I got the cool curls going on in my mustache.
But that movie's coming on line this weekend. Also from,
dude, we walked around in a very, very hot sun that entire day.
We absolutely did. But from director John Krasinski, you know, everybody's talking about the new Quiet Place movie that's coming out that he has very little to do with because he's too busy doing If, which is the new movie with Ryan Reynolds and, of course, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Steve Carell. I mean, you got Louis Gossett Jr. A lot of people. Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, John Stewart, Maya Rudolph, Sam Rockwell. I mean, Christopher Maloney, Awkwafina. I mean, the list goes on and on. Richard Jenkins. You got just like all of these people in this movie because everybody wants to work with John Krasinski. And it's about imaginary friends. That's what IF stands for, their ifs. So it's Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, but with live action CGI creatures and real people. So that's coming out this weekend. You can check it out. Also on the horror tip, if you guys are into that, there is a prequel to The Strangers coming out, Strangers Chapter 1, which kind of seems weird because they're like, now we'll understand where the strangers come from, and it doesn't really seem like it's not much of an origin story. It's just a house where the strangers are and they kill some people. Okay.
With that kind of the premise to begin with?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think everybody's trying to find new iconic horror creatures and horror icons, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term or a redundant sounding term. And the strangers just don't do it for me. You know, they just are people with masks on.
I don't like jump scare movies.
You don't like scary movies.
I don't like scary movies because most of them are jump scare movies like this. I like fun horror. I like, Nightmare on Elm Street a lot of the time. I like Gremlins and Critters and Ghoulies.
Ghoulies is a good one. Ghoulies Go to College. Some pinnacle filmmaking
I like
there.
Monster Squad and
Wolfman does have knives.
My Mummy. That's a good one.
You liked My Mummy?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, jump scare murder movies aren't fun.
Well, let's see. Also, I really like the trailer for this because it seemed very weird. It's coming out this weekend from director Jane Schoenbrunn. It's called I Saw the TV Glow. It has Justice Smith and Bridget Lundy Payne in this film. Looks very interesting. Fred Durst is in it. Who'd have thought that? But it is about two teenagers bonding over their love of a supernatural TV show that's mysteriously canceled. But the trailer is very odd, very kind of psychedelic and fun, looking with some odd practical effects and costuming and fun things. I really want to see this. I don't think it's going to... It's an A24 film. I don't know if it's getting a nationwide release. We'll see if it's in theaters. I think this would be a lot of fun, but there's a lot of stuff coming out in theaters this weekend, so pretty good chance it won't be in a theater near you. So, also coming out is Babes from director Pamela Adlon. It's starring Lana Glazier and Michelle Buteau. It is about the story of Eden, who becomes pregnant from a one-night stand and leans on her married best friend and mother of two to guide her. So, this is from Neon, so I don't know if this one's going to get a big, large, wide release either. But, you know, Neon and A24, you know, sometimes get wider releases than you think. But that one's coming out. Looks like a comedy. Let's see here. Coming to, catching up in the comments. The Strangers has so much quiet space and tensions. I love that shit, says Dina. Bernard said, definitely seen the Strangers movie. Aren't supposed to be the Manson followers that never got caught. Side note, did you guys see Abigail, the kidnap murdering vampire movie? I have not yet. We've talked a lot about it. I have had friends that have seen it. I've just had a very, very tough week.
I'll probably watch Abigail when it's at home.
Streaming, which I think it is. It's on VOD, but it's not on a streaming service. Christina said, trying to keep the drive-in on the download because we've had people trying to break in. Copy that. Rice Roni says, have you guys discussed the whole Twisted Childhood cinematic universe? We have on a few episodes, if what you mean is like the Winnie the Pooh, the Tinkerbell, the Killer Bambi, all that kind of stuff. It's just like these public domain characters. Like, why not? Horror is cheap to make and generally has good ROI if you get some hype around it. So, yeah. Movie Upper says Ryan Gosling's best movie was Drive. Ryan Gosling has gone down and say he doesn't want to do any more serious roles. He wants to do comedy and lighthearted stuff from here on out. So we will see.
I was one of those people that was misled by the trailers for Drive. And when I got there, it just wasn't what I expected the first time that I watched it. I didn't dislike it. I thought it was fine. It's just not at all what I expected.
You're talking about Drive?
Yeah.
I thought it was this. Did you not want a scorpion jacket and like fingerless gloves after
watching
that? I
wanted like a stuntman, the video game, the movie kind of a thing. Because that's what the trailers told you it was going to be.
Or like that Grindhouse, the movie with Kurt Russell was the stunt driver.
Yeah, but less. Less.
Just less.
What's his name?
Boring.
Yeah. Less everything else about that movie that wasn't Kurt Russell.
Velma Santa said Place Beyond the Pines was pretty sick but sad. No, that was... I enjoyed that movie.
Spoiler. Doesn't Ryan Gosling die in like the first half of that movie?
Hey, no spoiler alerts. Bernard over on Facebook said Drive was incredible, though. Definitely getting that jacket. It's been on his Amazon wish list for like 6 years. Oh, well, then pull the trigger on it, bro. Wear it to the boxing ring. Do the thing. Like, have the scorpion jacket, dude. You know, flex it out. Death Proof. That's what I couldn't remember which. You know, it's Planet Terror and Death Proof. That's the one.
Yeah, and Death Proof was the crap. What's the director's name? What's the creepy foot obsessed?
Are you talking about Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's not in it really.
No, but he did Death Proof. That was his movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was in the Planet Terror because it's like nutsack.
His ding dong dripped off.
Yeah,
of him.
Dripped off like goop.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
Because in every Robert Rodriguez movie, something terrible has to happen.
Director
to Quentin Tarantino.
Of Spy Kids. Just so you guys, yeah
every,
for reference.
Every time Tarantino's in a Robert Rodriguez movie, something awful happens to him, which is generally one of my favorite parts.
Oh, for sure.
In the past. But, yeah, Death Proof, I didn't like anything about it except Kurt Russell, but it's not like a good Kurt Russell movie.
No. It's not a good Kurt Russell movie.
Because he was like a creepy sex abuser murder man.
What does that have to do with anything? He's playing a role.
Well, yeah.
You can't, like, he can't act.
No.
Without you being like, I don't like that character.
Yeah, it's just
hurt
sometimes.
My feelings. That's not, you're not my Kurt Russell.
Yeah, that's not Captain Ron, man.
I mean, it's not Captain Ron. You still haven't watched Bone Tomahawk.
I still haven't. You're right.
Movie yeah. Albert said Death Proof was awesome.
Everyone voted for a different movie. They didn't want me to watch Bone Tomahawk. Turns out. We got to watch the...
Waiting for Guffman.
Yeah, we got
to... Saving up Guffman. I also saw Grindhouse in theater.
I worked at the theater when Grindhouse was there.
Yeah, it was... speaking of Grindhouse... Roger Corman died, for those of you that didn't know. I mean, he's 98. It's a miracle he's still alive. You know, again, a B-movie legend. You know, Grindhouse movies, things like that. Roger Corman passed away this week. Known for a lot of things. You can IMDb him. It's
Lots
crazy.
Of movies with the word death in them, like the Death Race movies. He also was like a producer on The Fast and the Furious from the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
That like a trucker murder man.
Okay, so we got double comments wanting to know about our hot dog photo. I'm like, there's a lot of hot dogs. There's this hot dog. Jake, will you reach behind me and get the hot dog that's over in the Crypt Keeper's lap? Like, I'm just to address the hot dog in the room.
I'm just going to borrow that real quick. Dude.
No one redeemed this breaker brag. But this right here, it's like, let's go all go to the lobby and get a hot dog. Got this at an estate sale. It was from an old drive-in. It's right here, the one near me. Like, there's hot dog photos everywhere. I don't know what... Like, this one right here, this is just like a metal sign, the snack bar. I think I got that at just like on Amazon, you know, I mean, or Hobby Lobby or something like that. I think I got that on Amazon.
Metal sign. The board behind me, it sure does. It does say COVID-19.
The board does still say COVID, but the eye fell off. So yeah, I never change it. Now showing COVID.
That's real horror.
So yeah, Christina, check out your local Hobby Lobby. They have some cool movie memorabilia. If you want to go check that out. This movie sign, this is from an old video store that went out of business in Arkansas, and I bought that from the owners. A lot of crazy stuff here that we've collected over the years here in the studio. And if you're just listening to the audio version of this podcast, I'm sorry, you don't know what we're talking about. But that's all the more reason to tune in live. Follow us on Twitch or Facebook or YouTube. She's in Canada, so probably doesn't have a Hobby Lobby, eh?
Wow.
What Canadians say? I don't know.
Are we turning this into the Great White North? Are we going to be Bob and Doug McKenzie
now?
The
White North.
If you're going to start saying A?
I don't know, but I'm telling you that that's where I got a lot of these things. But Amazon, check out Amazon.
We're also from an old video store that went out of business. Yeah, you're right. We did both work at a video store that's out of business.
Hastings.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of my old, probably the first co-host we ever had on the show, he worked at this place called Crossroads, and he also worked at Crossroads and Blockbuster.
Crossroads was the tits before Hastings bought it and went in place. I liked Crossroads better than I liked Hastings.
I don't know about that.
Dude, Crossroads was the coolest.
You know what I really like? Having a Jaeger machine in here that dispenses ice cold Jaeger.
Dude, when Crossroads kept their Super Nintendo games for a really long time, and I'd go rent Super Nintendo games at Crossroads all the time.
Velvet Sense says we should open up a video store. No. I like my money not being in the negatives.
That would be like the It's Always Sunny episode where the McPoyles buy the video store and like, yeah, we're going to get in on a booming business. And they're like, no, that's the opposite of what video stores are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. No, thank you. The only way I'd open a video store, if it was like Meow Wolf was bankrolling it and it was like this weird trippy headspace and it wasn't actually a video store, it was just a big arts installation and people would go in, because that's the only reason anybody would want to go into a video store now, is to like go, neat, this used to be a thing that people did, cool. And then, you know, actually shout outs to my friends, the Viva La Video gang that runs Pet Pop and there's the Can Do Hardware, and over in Pet Pop, they have like this weird Viva La Video, like mock fake video store, and they sell all of this old horror memorabilia and stuff like that. And it is in Gravette. So if you want to go check that out, shout outs to them. They're really, really cool people. It's about the only thing worth driving out that far for. Very cool spot, and highly recommend taking a, if you're just bored on a weekday and you want to go grab some lunch in Bella Vista and then go check out that store. It's very, very cool.
Fairly Critical asked, do most people even have the ability to play a disc to watch a movie anymore, like DVD or Blu-ray? I don't know. I do, but that's like...
But that's because we're us.
Whenever like the new Xbox or PlayStation or whatever your choice is there, whenever they have the digital or disc version, I always go for the disc version so that I have the option. And plus physical media, you can resell or if you choose, and it's something to collect for the same price as a digital that they can then rip away from you.
And then
just
go, ah, psych, this is ours. You're only leasing it until we say so.
Yeah, so I much prefer to have physical media. Plus streaming things... never comes through in 4K the way it's supposed to. Having 4K
and it's
UHD,
never 4K.
Yeah, it never is. The blacks are never black. The graphics are never quite there. So having a physical media where I can watch a 4K UHD version of something is definitely my preference. So I maintain the ability to use physical media.
James over on Facebook said DVD changers are no longer manufactured anywhere on Earth. So that's, I mean,
like a multi-disc.
Yeah, I think I had a once upon a time I had a three-disc DVD changer, and my buddy Richard, a former co-host of Driving Speak Rocks, had a three-disc changer, and one of them was always Bloodsport, and you could set an alarm to where at like, because he'd have to wake up and get ready for like work or whatever at like 6:30 a.m. and he knew he had an hour and so many minutes. That was his getting ready. It would put on Bloodsport, and he knew he had to wake up, and by the time the credits rolled, he needed to leave, and that was like his.
I mean, that's
morning.
Cool.
Routine.
Fairly critical. Yeah, see, you understand. You get me. Because, yeah, the low-resolution blacks on any 4K streaming looks awful. The shadows and the darks are always look like garbage. I hate trying to stream something, especially when I pay for an HD streaming, and it's like, why?
Well, Dina says, at Fairly Critical, maybe with game consoles, is that still possible? Hardly anything has an optical drive, and no one's being dedicated to buying, but dedicated players.
That's
but
exactly what I'm saying.
I also read an article that gaming consoles are actually struggling to find. Like, people are buying less and less and less, you know, game consoles now.
That's true, too. And I did see at GameStop the other day that Sony has an optional disk drive, so if you bought the digital version and decided that was a mistake, you can now plug in a disk drive to the side of it to turn your digital version into the disk version that you should have bought from the beginning.
Crazy. Well, all right, guys. Well, it is almost nearing the end of the show before we go jump into Discord world and do all that fun stuff after the post show. We have a pre-show, the show, and a post show. Show's like 17 hours long now. But we got to do the box office roundup for the week. Weekend of May 10th through 12th, 2024. And you can follow along if you want. We get all of our numbers from Box Office Mojo. I'm an IMDb Pro member. Which is we get a lot of that good info there. We're going to give you the top 10 movies in America, domestic numbers mostly. Sorry, Christina, we're not giving Canadian box office totals, but you know, for some of these bigger ones, we will report it as well. But we will start with number 10, and Jake's going to give you these movies. So let's go.
Yeah, coming in at number 10, a movie we talked about a minute ago, Abigail, in its fourth week out, has brought in $1.14 million, bringing its domestic total up to just under $25 million. And then hanging strong in the top 10 in its second week out.
Who'd have thought?
Episode 1, Phantom Menace, re-release, just under $1.5 million, bringing it up to $12 million in its 2 weeks out, which I also saw reported that it is supposedly Disney Plus number one streaming movie across the globe as well.
Wow.
Then at number 8, it's been out for 5 weeks already, Civil War. I did not realize that had been out that long.
It's been out for a minute, yeah.
$1.8 million brought in by it, bringing it up to $65 million here in the States. And then at number 7, its 10th week from Universal, Kung Fu Panda
what?
4. $1.8 million bucks brought in
wait,
by that
wait,
one.
Wait. We got to get the world
$191
right.
$191
million. Oh, God.
And with another 338 across the globe. So over half $1 million for the fourth installment of Kung Fu.
Oh my God. That's painful.
yeah, that was it. I don't want Yosef. Oh, wow.
No.
At number 6, Unsung Hero brought in $2.5 million in its third week out, bringing in 17. That's the faith-based
yes,
movie.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
It's just weird to see it as from Lionsgate. And then at number 5, holding strong at number 5, Godzilla, Cross Kong, The New Empire.
And I feel like
after
this coming weekend, we're going to see a drop there because it's getting a lot more competition.
But it's got $192 million in the U.S. It also has over $500 million across the globe.
What's crazy, though, is we've been hearing all the reports of Godzilla Kong, look how well it's doing, look Godzilla Kong. No one's talking about how well Kung Fu Panda 4 is doing. It's just making all of the fucking money. Like, and it's just soaking it up.
Yeah, well, because it has less detailed CG animals punching each other.
But it's made just as much money as Godzilla Kong. And everyone's like, well, yeah, Jack Black made a fart. And we gave him $500 million.
Godzilla Kong has $900,000 more which is like nothing in movie terms.
Right.
And then coming up above it at number four, holding the number four spot in its second week out, Tarot brought another $3.4 million. Only $12 million brought in by that one, which normally for a horror movie probably isn't bad, but
they wanted more.
Yeah, they wanted a lot more. But how much money is Screen Gems really hoping to get? Kind of a thing, too.
Good question.
And then holding the number three spot, Challengers, $4.3 million brought in by it, $37.8 total in its 3 weeks out. For people who can't get enough of Zendaya getting out there and being freaky. And then dropping to the number two spot, The Fall Guy, 13.7 brought in this past week.
It was a bit of an argument going on in the comments earlier from people that were like, I like it. And then Movie Hour's like, I didn't like it. We kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
$50 million total here in the U.S. in its second week out. It's a fun movie. I mean, Movie Albert has a good point. It is a mess.
Oh, for sure.
But it's very meta about its mess, and it acknowledges it, and he mentions it narrating and talks about it to another character on screen. He's like, no, you can't do it like that, because then it gets messy, and people lose track. You need to do it like this. And then they flip how the movie goes, and it does like what he said. So,
I feel like if Shane Black wrote and directed that movie, it would have been a masterpiece. If it had, like, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, like, stylings with that same, like, cast and storyline, it would have just been a perfect film. But that's not what happened. But it was still fun.
Yeah. It is a bit of a mess, but it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's hard to hate it.
And then number one?
And then coming in at number one, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, $58.4 million brought in by that one. Wow. And another $72.7 million across the globe. It's already made $131 million.
All right. Doing pretty well. Ape, make money. It's doing it.
Bad ape. Dollars. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the sign. Well, all right. Well, that is the box office roundup. Christine over on Facebook, I'm glad you found that sign. Hope you get it ordered and enjoy it forever and ever and ever.
Congo's a horror movie that I like.
Another like ape-centric horror movie. Has a really fun pinball machine attached to it, too, if you've ever played the Congo pinball machine. It's a good one. But that is our show. We are gonna transition over to the post show over on Discord, which Vince will probably throw that link in the comments one more time if you want to join us over on our Discord. This normally we do a watch along. We have 100-minute movies that we normally watch. Yeah, of course, tomorrow.
God damn it, Vince.
What is? Oh yeah, okay, yeah. There's a fun sticker over in the Discord you guys can check out. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks, Vince. But today I think we're going to be playing some Jackbox fun games there. So you can jump over in the Discord there. The link is in the comments. You got to go to work. You can't stick around.
But we can make me like the Shaq, like asleep. I wake. Yeah.
But anyway, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can follow us anywhere you social media. We have Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We prefer Twitch. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun, cool tools that you can use and emojis you can unlock and subscriber perks. And we do a pre-show and all that fun stuff. So we recommend you follow us on Twitch. It's not just for gamer nerds. It's for all of us. Or you can just download this podcast wherever it is you download podcasts. Just search for the Drive-In Speaker Box Podcast or tell your smart speaker to play the Drive-In Speaker Box Podcast. And I guess with that, I mean, it's done, right?
It's done.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.